Are you living the life that glorifies God in all you do and say? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
When things are the toughest, when things are the darkest for you, that's the greatest opportunity for a Christian to shine for Christ. People notice when the bottom has dropped out, that you keep trusting Him, that you keep praising Him, that there's still joy in your heart, and they say, there's something to that.
Here's the truth. No one likes to miss out, so to speak, on anything. When there's something good going on, we want to get in on it. But the truth of the matter is this. When it comes to the life that God has for us, so many people are missing out on the wonderful things the Lord wants them to have. Are you missing out? Are you living the life? That's the name of today's message, the final message in Pastor Jeff's six-message series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff as we learn how to discover the joy of the genuine Christian life. Today you're going to hear part two of this final message, but the entire series is our gift of thanks to you for your support to From His Heart this month of any amount, and it's available on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. All you have to do is make your gift when you go to fromhisheart.org and know that you are helping to impact the world for Christ by supporting From His Heart. Now, though, open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Here's Pastor Jeff to conclude this fascinating and, frankly, hopeful lesson about living the life.
Now, I want to talk to you today about the life that God wants for every person to experience, to have, to live. But the fear is that you're missing out on what the Lord wants you to have, the wonderful things that the Lord wants to do in your lives. So I want you to see with me three characteristics of this life that He came that we might have. First characteristic, He came to give us eternal life. When He talks about life, Zoe in the Greek, when He talks about that, the thing that really jumps out at you about this life is it is eternal life. Jesus said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says in verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give eternal life to them. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. The Lord gives eternal life. But second characteristic, not only did He come to give us eternal life, He came to give us abundant life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Now remember this, eternal life is abundant life. Sometimes we get confused on eternal life. We kind of think in terms, well, eternal life is something you get when you die. But that's not what it is. Eternal life is what you get when you believe. And when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive eternal life. Not when I die, right now. John 5:24, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has, present tense, eternal life. And does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. You have eternal life the moment you believe. Listen, the Christian life, here's what it is. Christ living his life through you. And when his life is in you and he's living through you, then you have the abundance of the Christian life. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me. And if you abide in me, then what happens? My sap flows through you and you bear fruit. You know, you walk by a fruit-bearing tree, you never hear grunting and groaning from the branches. What are you doing? I'm trying to bear fruit. Just trying hard. You know, maybe if I try harder, maybe some fruit will come out. No, they're just connected. If you're connected, then everything just flows through you and you don't have to effort, you just have to trust. Now, there are three key places in the Old Testament that God uses as pictures for us. The first key place in the Old Testament is Egypt. Egypt, where God's people were in bondage for 400 plus years. And they were in slavery to Pharaoh, and lost people are enslaved to sin, and the person that is over them is the devil. But now, if you remember, the Lord brought them out of Egypt through the blood of the Passover lamb, and they went through the Red Sea, and then they came into the wilderness. Now, they were only supposed to stay in the wilderness a short while because God led them from the wilderness to go into the promised land. They got the Ten Commandments in the wilderness, and then they were going into the promised land, but they didn't go in the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief. So they ended up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Egypt is a picture of the lost condition. The wilderness is a picture of the saved person who is not experiencing the abundance that the Lord wants them to have. Because of unbelief, they're wandering around in circles in the desert. God wants us to live a life of fullness, of abundance, and that's pictured with the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that has grapes as big as coconuts, the land that is just filled with great things. That's what God wants for us. The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the spirit-filled life, and that comes when it's not I, but Christ. And you mark it down, the Christian life is full of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what the Lord wants for you and wants for me. A life that's filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice Galatians chapter 5, it doesn't say the fruits, plural. It just says the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, Paul said, if you want to get in on that, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Why? Because the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You have to say, not I, but Christ, and you have to yield. And when you yield to the Lord, then his life, you stay connected to the vine, then his life just flows through you. And when his life flows through you, then you experience the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace. Now notice this. This has nothing to do with externals. It has nothing to do with what's going on around you. It has nothing to do with circumstances. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't mean that everything is going to be wonderful externally in your life, that all your circumstances are going to be great, that you're never going to face a storm, that you're never going to face a trial, that you're never going to face a fiery experience. That doesn't mean that at all. It means in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your fiery experience, there is love, there is joy, there is peace. There's the fruit of the Spirit. That's why Paul said when he was imprisoned in Rome, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, he's not saying that, you know, I can take a football and punt it 85 yards because Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go play one-on-one with LeBron James and beat him. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not saying that. He's saying no matter how difficult my circumstances might be, I can face those with joy because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't get my strength from the external. I get it from the one who lives inside of me. I was reading a testimony this morning about a woman. She was imprisoned in North Korea in the late 80s, early 90s. She was not a Christian, but she was imprisoned there in North Korea with some Christians. And she said, we weren't allowed to talk to one another. But she said, what I remembered about those Christians is that no matter how bad the torture, no matter how bad the beatings, they never denied their faith. They were given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to deny Christ. They wouldn't do it. And she said, in the midst of torture and in the midst of beatings, they sang. She said, I couldn't believe it. They would sing. Even when they were being tortured to death, the last thing that came out of their mouths was a song. And she said, I never got over that. She left the prison in North Korea in 1992, got to go to South Korea, and in South Korea, she was able to find out about Christianity, and she gave her life to Christ. And she shared, it's because of the witness of those people, without words, just in their song, in their joy, I knew Christianity is real. It's got to be real, because how else can they have joy in the midst of such suffering? Listen, that's the abundant life that the Lord wants to give. We watch on television so often, television preachers, what do they say? They give the gospel in terms of prosperity. They're not talking about the love and the joy and the peace. What are they talking about? They're talking about, well, you'll be financially blessed. You'll have a new job. You'll get promoted. You'll have this. You'll have that. And you know why that appeals to so many people? Because that's what the natural man wants. He doesn't want suffering. He doesn't want to have internal joy as much as he wants $1 million. And what did the devil do with Jesus when he tempted Jesus? He said, command these stones to become bread. If you're the Son of God, do that. Hey, let me show you all the kingdoms in the world. They'll be yours if you'll just bow down and worship me. Let me take you up to the top of the temple, the pinnacle of the temple. Jump down, because the scripture says he'll bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone, and show off, and you'll have fame, you'll have fortune. You follow me and you get riches and you get fame and you get fortune. And Jesus said, be gone. You shall worship God, and him only shall you serve. Do you see how that prosperity gospel has twisted the real gospel, has twisted the real Christian life? The real Christian life is Christ living his life through you. It's you yielding yourself to the Lord and saying, whatever happens to you, not my will, but yours be done. And thank you, Lord, that there's peace, that there's joy, that there's love, no matter what is taking place in my life. And remember this too, just like those Christians in North Korea, when things are the toughest, when things are the darkest for you, that's the greatest opportunity for a Christian to shine for Christ. People notice when the bottom is dropped out, that you keep trusting him, that you keep praising him, that there's still joy in your heart, and they say, there's something to that. When Paul and Silas were beaten and put in stocks in Philippi, Bible says about midnight, they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening, because that gets people's attention. Wow! How can you sing praises in the midst of suffering? It's because the Lord is living his life through you, and there's love, and there's joy, and there's peace. So Jesus came to give us eternal life, to give us abundant life, and thirdly and finally, he came to give us victorious life. Look at again, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. The thief. Who is the thief? Well, he's speaking about the false teachers in Israel, of course. And any false teacher is a thief. He's not a true shepherd. He's a thief. But he's speaking deeper about the ultimate thief, the ultimate false prophet and false teacher, and that is the devil himself. And the devil is the one who wants to steal and kill and destroy. See, the devil is the enemy of your soul and my soul. Now, the devil hates God, and the devil would love to destroy God, but the devil can't destroy God. And the devil can't really hurt God directly, so because the devil is a wicked being, wicked beings and people have always known that if you can't hurt the person you hate, hurt someone that they love, and you've hurt them indirectly. And so the devil hates God, and he knows that God loves us, so the devil zeroes in on you and me to try and steal and kill and destroy. And he wants to steal away all the things that God wants to give you. He wants to steal away the abundant life that God wants to give you. And he wants to kill your testimony for Jesus Christ. And he wants to blind your mind to the gospel so you never even put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he wants to destroy you, ultimately destroy you. And if the devil could, he would destroy every single person. That word for destroy, apolemi, is the word perish. That's what Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You perish in hell, and the devil comes to try and destroy. And when the seed is sown, what does he do? He comes and snatches away the seed, Jesus said. He's like the birds that come and snatch away the seed that's thrown on the hard pan, on the hard ground. And as I'm preaching today, some of you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the seed of God's word is going out. And the devil is just there to try and scoop it up, to try and pick it off so that it won't penetrate into your heart. Hey, we have an enemy of our soul. And what do we do with the enemy? Well, the devil, the enemy of our souls, he must be resisted by faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Hey, the devil is like a roaring lion. He prowls about. He's looking for someone to gobble up. And what does the Lord say to do with him? Resist him, firm in your faith. Stand up to him, firm in your faith. Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. When the devil comes, we don't go run away. We stand up to him and we resist him firm in our faith. That's what the scripture says to do. Don't let him win. He's a defeated foe. When Nehemiah was leading the people to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem in the 400s BC, and they were building the wall and the enemies started to say, we're going to come and we're going to pounce on you. Nehemiah said, man, we started hearing these rumors and the people became afraid. And he said, when I saw their fear, I said to them, remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fight. Fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your brothers, fight for your wives, fight for your home, fight. Stand up to the enemy. And they did. And the enemy had to flee. Resist the devil, the Lord says in the book of James. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Listen, you don't just let him just plow you over. You stand firm in the Lord and say, You don't have any authority here. You're a defeated foe. Jesus broke your back when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And you're a defeated foe. And greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And I'm going to stand up to you. You're not going to steal my peace. And you're not going to steal my joy. And you're not going to steal my kids. Because I'm going to pray for them and I'm going to fight for them. And I'm going to stand firm on the promises of God. He came to give us eternal life. He came to give us abundant life. He came to give us victorious life. Let me close with this story. There was a missionary overseas in a third world country. And he was given, when he got on the field, he was given a vehicle, standard transmission, manual transmission, and the vehicle had a problem with it. It wouldn't start. The only way you could get it to run is you had to push it. Some of you may remember if you had a standard transmission that sometimes you, if you pushed it in neutral and then you'd pop the clutch in first gear, then you could get it to go. And that's what he had to do. And it was a pain. And so he'd have to try and park on a decline. So when he got in the car, he could kind of roll and get it going. He'd have to have some people with him to push it if he couldn't park on a decline. It was just such a frustration for him. Well, he was there for 2 years with his car dealing with that problem. He just got used to it. That's the way it is. So a new missionary came on the scene, and this guy was passing the baton to him. And he said, now here's the vehicle that you have, but let me tell you something about it. You got to push it to get it started because it won't start. And so he's telling the guy where to park it and how to do all that stuff. And the guy pops the hood. And he looks under while this other missionary is telling him how to do all this stuff with the pushing. He looks at it and he said, well, look at that. A cable's loose. He tightened up the cable. He said, try it now. Vroom, it started right up. That guy had been pushing that thing for 2 years. It was a loose cable. Listen, some of you are pushing your Christianity. You're trying hard. You're efforting. And it's not working. There's no joy. There's no peace. It's just you trying hard. And the Lord is saying, I want you to quit trying, and I want you to start trusting. I was talking to a family member about hurts. You know, if you hold on to a hurt that has happened in your past, that breaks the connection between you and the Lord because that makes you bitter. Bitter at this person who hurt you or bitter at God because he didn't change the circumstances. That's a loose connection. And then you're just going to be going through your life, your Christian life. You're going to be in the wilderness. You're not going to experience the promised land. You're just going to wander around in the wilderness. And some of you, hey, you might have been wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. Today is the day to connect the cable and get things right and get into the promised land. Maybe it's with bitterness. Maybe it's with some sin that you just don't want to let go of. Maybe it's with pride. You think, no, I can do this on my own. You can't. I can't. No one can. Today is the day to enter in to the real Christian life. Don't miss out anymore.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And perhaps wandering in the wilderness describes your current spiritual situation. You know you're a believer, that Jesus is indeed the Lord and Savior of your life, but your sin has caused you to feel distant from God. Well, without question, He wants you to come back to Him today. How? Well, you genuinely confess your sin and surrender your life to the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Or maybe you know that right now, this moment, you're not a child of God. Well, you can be. If the life you're living is headed for a dead end, and you know that deep down in your being, well, first, you have to admit that truth, and then sincerely cry out to Him from a repentant heart and put your faith in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin. He promises to forgive you now and forever. What a great blessing and comfort that is, for now and for eternity, knowing that we are part of the family of God who loves us so very much. If you'd like to know more about how to surrender your life to Christ, encouragement about how to live your life, and dig deeper into what a wonderful life for Christ looks like, then we'd love for you to go to fromhisheart.org, click on the Why Jesus link on the homepage. There you'll find some free materials to download and some specific messages from Pastor Jeff that we pray will be a blessing to you. Well, today's lesson was the last one in Pastor Jeff's series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. It was called, Are You Living the Life? All 6 messages are in this series. You can find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. Well, time is up for today. Thank you for being here, and we hope that you'll join us on Monday as Pastor Jeff begins an incredible series that provides some fundamental answers that all believers in Christ should know deep down in their hearts and ready to share with others. Be with us then as we go to court and face some tough questions from the series Cross-Examination, Questions from the King. That's next time when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up the Bible and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.